One Man's Family, brought to you every weekday night at this time, transcribed by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer and many other fine, dependable pharmaceutical products. Overheard between Mother and Father Barber in the library of the family home.
I tell you, Fanny, that young Pinky is about to get his comeuppance. Wait till I confront him with his letter.
Did you tell him about the letter?
I did not. I'm going to let him entangle himself in contradictions, and then I'll use it to pin him to the wall like a district attorney.
Mm-hmm. So that's how it is with the barbers today. Why suffer along with a headache? Why endure the discomfort of acid indigestion? Yes, friends, why? When you can have fast, wonderful relief by taking Alka-Seltzer. You have to like Alka-Seltzer, you know, or your money will be refunded. That's been Miles Laboratory's guarantee to you ever since Alka-Seltzer was put on the market nearly 20 years ago. You see, Alka-Seltzer is so good, so fast, so effective as first aid for relief from headache and acid indigestion that you'll surely be pleased with it. Now, you can't know how much and how fast Alka-Seltzer can help you until you try it. So do this, won't you? Get a package of Alka-Seltzer from your drugstore. Then, next time a headache or acid indigestion causes discomfort, take Alka-Seltzer. Yes, try it once, just once. And we know you'll never be without Alka-Seltzer in your home. Chapter 2, Book 80. Mr. William Herbert Pinky Murray is walking confidently along Seacliff Drive in San Francisco toward the Barber family home, where his grandfather is angrily pacing the floor in the library. The head of the House of Barber is not in a tranquil mood as he brandishes a letter under his wife's nose.
I tell you, Fanny, that boy is about to get his comeuppance.
Well, don't keep waving that letter to me, Henry. Wait till Pinky gets here.
He's taking his time about it. It's been almost an hour since I telephoned him.
Did you tell him about the letter?
I did not. I'm going to see what he has to say for himself before I confront him with this. If that boy dissembles and enmeshes himself in a tangle of contradictions, I'll take out this letter and pin him to the wall like a district attorney.
You won't accomplish anything by browbeating him.
My dear, I have no intention of browbeating him, as you put it. I shall go about this very calmly.
About time you started, then. You've been fuming ever since the mail came this morning.
Is that so surprising? You don't seem to realize the serious import of this letter. That boy has used my name to get money. It says so right here. Is that something to be taken lightly?
No, but I think it'd be only fair to read it to him first. Maybe he can explain it.
I shall give him every opportunity to explain it. But I'm going to handle it in my own way.
Very well, Henry.
Hazel and Daniel don't seem to be able to cope with him. It's high time somebody started reining him in. And he'll know that he's got a bit in his mouth before this interview is over.
Now, Henry, you've got no right to be taking on any of these...
My dear, this communication has given me every right to interfere. Listen to this. My dear Mr. Barber, your grandson, Pinky...
I know. You've read it to me half a dozen times this morning.
But apparently you didn't understand it. It says, your grandson, Pinky Murray, owes me $250. When I lent it to him, he said that his grandfather was Henry Barber and that you were wealthy.
Am I interrupting something?
Oh, come in, Clifford.
Yes.
I couldn't help overhearing something about Pinky.
Your father got a letter this morning from a boy at Stanford, and he's pretty upset about it.
Oh, Pinky in hot water again?
I prefer not to discuss it until I've had an opportunity to interview him. Yes, if he ever arrives.
Gonna put Pinky on the carpet, under.
This is not a matter for amusement, Clifford. I've just been trying to impress on your mother that we are faced with a serious problem with this boy.
Well, just remember, you're doing this on your own. If you'd taken my advice, you'd have turned the whole thing over to Hazel and Daniel to handle.
Is this communication addressed to them?
No.
Very well.
All right, Henry.
I'm doing his parents a service by trying to straighten this out. If I can do so, they will be spared considerable pain.
Seems to me the only way to straighten it out is to pay the money, but you don't want to do that.
Just paying the money won't get to the boy's basic problem. You want to encourage your grandson to go on the way he has been? That's what it will amount to. He's like saying, oh, it's all right, Pinky. You can always borrow money. Go right ahead anytime. You can always fall back on your grandfather. Yes, yes, he'll pay off. Yes. Is that what you're advocating?
Keep going, Dad. You're certainly filling in the picture for me. You said you didn't want to discuss it. I only need a couple more little details, and I'm practically in on the whole deal, complete with all accessories.
It is. Your mother's fault.
Well, I like that. Besides, I've got things to do.
Where are you going?
I'm going up to my sewing room. I'm tired of your fussing.
She said she was tired of your fussing.
I'm not fussing, Cliff.
Well, hey, don't jump on me. I didn't say it. I was just telling you what Mom said.
What are your plans for the day? Golf?
Oh, look, Dad, if you want to pick a quarrel, why don't you wait till Pinky gets here? It just so happens that I...
Hey, Grandfather! Hey!
Tell that boy to stop shouting.
Pinky!
Hey, where's Grandfather, Uncle Cliff?
Library!
Bedlam. Couldn't you go and tell him quietly?
Okay, I'm going, period.
Hi, Uncle Cliff. How's the boy?
Up to good, sonny. Be seeing you.
Oh, good morning, Grandfather.
Good morning.
Gee, it's swell out. I enjoyed walking over here.
Yeah, yeah. Sit down, young man.
Yeah. What goes with Uncle Cliff?
Huh?
Well, he looked kind of down in the mouth. Acted like he was sore or something. Poor Uncle Cliff. Think he's ever going to snap out of it, Grandfather, and go out and get himself a job of work? He's not getting any younger, you know.
Now, look here, young man. What your Uncle Clifford does is none of your affair.
Oh, sure. I know that, Grandfather. It's just that I feel sorry for the poor guy. He's got a lot on the ball. Personality, everything. But what's he doing with it? Nothing. Wasting his life. You can't go on like that and expect to get anything out of living. What I mean is you get out of life just about what you put into it. Excuse me, Grandfather. I just wanted to finish that train of thought. I've been doing quite a lot of thinking along those lines lately, and I've come up with a pretty good philosophy. And you got to have a philosophy, some kind of a pattern to follow, or you're dead. Now, the way I figure is...
Just a minute, young man. I didn't ask you over to hear you expound your theories.
Huh?
Don't say her.
I'm sorry. I meant sir.
Yes, that's better. Your brief sojourn at the university apparently hasn't helped your manners any. I'm using the word brief advisedly.
What's the matter, Grandfather? You sore about something?
By sore, I presume you mean angry?
Okay, put it that way.
Yes, that may depend on how satisfactorily you answer some questions I would like to ask you.
Questions about what?
Your activities during your short, unsuccessful period at the university.
Oh, I don't know why you say it was unsuccessful.
I suppose you call flunking out a triumph, eh?
Well, in a way, sure.
Young man, are you possessed?
Now, wait, Grandfather. Let me present my side. Now, follow the logic of this, now, if you don't mind.
Will you stop being condescending? You're speaking to an elder now.
I know that, Grandfather. That's why I'm trying to explain the situation.
Huh?
As a person gets old, he's bound to lose touch with the contemporary picture. It's not your fault. It just happens. I couldn't expect a man of your age to appreciate all the ins and outs of a university today, what you run into when you enter college, cold and full of illusions. Now, the illusions are gone, and I know where I stand.
Yes, I know where you stand also. You are ineligible to continue.
But that's the whole point. Look how valuable this has been. Suppose I had gone on in economics. Where would I have been at the end of 4 years?
Where are you now?
Where am I? Well, I'm on the threshold of a great career and fortune, that's all.
Oh, is that so? A fortune? When do you start amassing it, if I may ask? And how?
Simple, Grandfather. I'm going to study forestry.
I see. And that's an open sesame to wealth?
Well, it's certainly going to be for me.
Yes. I suppose it's safe to assume that you have not, as yet, come into any of this money.
Well, that goes without saying.
Yes, I just wanted to be sure. In other words, to put it bluntly, you're broke.
Well, yes, sir.
And if my information is correct, you are not only broke, you're also in debt.
Well, a fellow's bound to run up a few debts here and there going to college. It's kind of inevitable.
Yes, tell me. This money you owe, did you borrow it from somebody?
Well, yes, sir.
Who?
Oh, a fella. Good friend of mine. You wouldn't know him, Grandfather.
I wouldn't, eh?
No, sir. I met him at Stanford.
Yes. How did he come to lend you this not inconsiderable sum?
I told you. He's a friend.
Yes, yes. Lend it to you just out of friendship. You had no security to give him, of course.
Oh, he's loaded. One of the wealthiest fellows at school. Great guy. Now, I got to know some pretty high-class people down there. Made some mighty valuable connections.
Even a wealthy person likes to know how and when he's going to get his money back when he lends it, however. I wouldn't imagine that he would be any exception to that.
Oh, he wants the loan paid back, sure. And I'm going to see that he gets it.
Yes. He realized that your mother and Daniel were having a struggle to keep you in college?
Oh, I told him that.
But he still lent you the money?
Yes, sir.
And you didn't give him any reference at all? Some person he might turn to in an emergency if he felt he needed the money?
I don't know what you mean.
Maybe this letter I received in the morning mail will refresh your memory. I have it right here in my pocket.
Who's it from?
Just a moment. I'm going to read it to you. My dear Mr. Barber, your grandson, Pinky Murray, owes me $250.
Huh? Is that from Brooks?
Don't interrupt.
Yes, sir.
He owes me $250. When I lent it to him, he said that his grandfather was Henry Barber and that you were wealthy. And I could count on you to get my money back if Pinky didn't have it. I tried to get him to pay me before he left school here, but he said he was broke. Since you are well-to-do and wouldn't miss the money, I'm giving you the opportunity of settling this debt for your grandson before taking more serious steps. Hoping to receive a check by return mail, I am very truly yours, Brooks Weatherwax III. Well?
Gosh, he's beginning to get tough. Well, what are you going to do about it, Grandfather?
What am I going to do? The question is, what are you going to do about it, young man?
Barbers will be back in just a moment. Ladies, would you believe that there is such a thing as a household antiseptic that is clear and stainless that is practically painless even when used full strength on cuts and scratches, that has a fresh, clean odor? There is one, and its name is Bactine. Let me spell that for you, because I'm sure you'll want to remember to get it at your drugstore. B-A-C-T-I-N-E, Bactine. It's the newest development in the field of antiseptics and germicides, a long stride from the old idea of germicides, and it's made by the makers of Alka-Seltzer. Bactine has so many uses in the home, you'll surely be amazed. Use Bactine freely on cuts, scratches, and abrasions. Try Bactine for itching skin and skin rash. Try Bactine to relieve the discomfort and combat the infection of athlete's foot. Try Bactine as a household and sick room disinfectant and sanitizer. Yes, it's really a wonderful new product, this Bactine, with actually multiple uses. And we want you to try it at our risk on this double-your-money-back guarantee. Get a bottle of Bactine from your druggist. Try it in many different ways according to the instruction sheet that comes with it. Then, if you don't think Bactine is the finest general-purpose germicide you ever used, return the empty bottle to Miles Laboratories, tell why you don't like it, and you'll get double your money back. Remember, that's Bactine, spelled B-A-C-T-I-N-E. Here's the family again.
Now, tell me, young man, what did you use this money for?
Well, clothes, Grandfather.
Huh? You spent it all on clothes?
Yes, sir. Clothes. And other items.
Friends, remember, try Bactine, the marvelous new family antiseptic and general-purpose germicide. Get it on the no-risk guarantee of double your money back if you're not satisfied. Go to your drugstore and get a 30 or 70-cent bottle of Bactine. Try it for many of its amazing uses. Then, if you don't think Bactine is the finest family antiseptic you've ever used, if you don't find more uses for it than any other antiseptic you ever used, return the empty bottle to Miles Laboratories, tell why you don't like it, and get double your money back. Get it right away. B-A-C-T-I-N-E. Bactine. One Man's Family is brought to you every weekday night at this time, transcribed by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer. Tomorrow, Pinky's Lot is Not a Happy One. Chapter 3, Book 80. This is a Carlton E. Morse production, directed by Michael Raffetto. Fires cost our nation 11,000 lives each year and hundreds of millions of dollars worth of property. 90% of the fires in the home start through carelessness. Protect your home. Don't smoke in bed. Clean out old newspapers and other inflammable debris. Repair defective electrical equipment. Use cleaning fluids that won't burn. Be careful with matches. Don't gamble with fire. The odds are against you.